The Assassin.
You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest. You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest.
What up, y'all? You're listening to Sports Talk with Trop, and I'm your host, Katie Trop. Well, a lot went on while I was gone for the week in Disneyland. I will say I know one team that will not be going to Disneyland at the end of the season celebrating a Super Bowl win, and that is my Dallas Cowboys, because damn, that team looks more and more pathetic as the season wears on. So let's get right into week 8. And since I wasn't here on Friday, we're going to go ahead and start with the Thursday night football game between the Minnesota Vikings and the Los Angeles Rams. The Rams made a huge comeback in the second half. It was pretty much mostly Vikings for the most part. The Rams kept it close, but it just kind of kept looking like the Vikings were just going to sneak this one out. Rams were able to get the win 30-20. Matthew Stafford had a huge game, 25 for 34, 279 yards and 4 touchdowns. He did get his two receivers back, Kupp and Nacua. Both have been missing due to injury. Nacua hasn't played in one game, and Kupp has been out for like the last month-ish. So it was nice for him to get them back. Williams on the ground had 97 yards, and the Vikings really just they just weren't able to get it done in the end. There was a bad call at the end of the game on a crucial drive for the Vikings. But I mean, other than that, it was pretty much the Rams just getting shit done on Thursday Night Football. Then on Sunday, we have the Philadelphia Eagles at the Cincinnati Bengals, and the season is just getting more and more bleak for the Bengals. They came right out the gate, looked like it was going to be a pretty decent game for them, but then the Eagles just absolutely took over this game and really just never looked back. They scored 10 points in the second quarter, 14 points in the third quarter, and 13 points in the fourth quarter. So they really just took off. They got the win 37-17. They pretty much had the lead almost the entire game other than the first quarter, but that didn't really matter. Jalen Hurts, solid game, 16 for 20, 236 yards and a touchdown. But the big thing really is, to me, Saquon Barkley. He's just a huge difference maker with this team. He had 108 yards on the ground. Devontae Smith had 85 yards and a touchdown. So it was really just, I'd say, probably the best game from the Philadelphia Eagles so far. And the Bengals, they just keep going down the toilet. I don't know what it is with them. They just really can't get it going. And it just seems to, it's just getting more and more bleak for the Bengals as the season wears on. Then we had the Baltimore Ravens at the Cleveland Browns. And this is why I always let you know, the division games are always a toss-up. It doesn't matter how shitty one team is and how good the other team is, and this is the perfect example of that, because the Browns got the win 29-24. Now, it's not that the Ravens played a terrible game. I mean, Lamar Jackson had a very solid game. It's just on the crucial plays, they were not able to make it. They had a couple of third downs where the receivers dropped it, and it would have been a first down. And their defense also had some big plays as well that they let go, and the Browns were able to just get the win. Jameis Winston, he actually was the starting quarterback due to the injuries at the quarterback position. He went 27 for 41, 334 yards, and 3 touchdowns on the day. It's funny because even though the Ravens are one of the top rushing teams in the league, they actually had a bad rushing game in this one. They only had like 120-something yards on the ground. And you say, oh, only 120-something yards. Well, they pretty much average like well over 200 yards per game. I think it's about 210 yards per game they're averaging. So it actually was not a good day for the Ravens on the ground. But that just says a lot, just because, like I said, these division matchups, they're always testy. It doesn't matter how bad or how good one team is. If you are just able to step it up on any given Sunday, you will get the win. And that is exactly what the Browns did yesterday. Then we had the Tennessee Titans at the Detroit Lions. And the Detroit Lions just keep absolutely obliterating their opponents. They got the huge win, 52-14. I know the Titans are terrible, but to dominate teams in this way that the Lions are dominating, it says a lot about this team. And they are just getting it done. You know, Goff did not have 100 yards passing yesterday. That is how good they are playing. Now, they got they had a 90-yard punt return, taken back for a touchdown by Khalif Raymond, so that helped. They actually had a couple of big special teams plays that really made the difference. And then Jahmyr Gibbs, huge game, 127 yards on the ground and a rushing touchdown. But just an overall well-played, well-coached, well-put-together team game that the Detroit Lions, I mean, they're 6-1, and they are just kicking ass right now. Like I said, Titans, terrible team, but to put up 52 points on anybody is a big deal. And the Lions are just getting it done in all different ways, offensively, defensively, and now on special teams, they're making the big plays. So the Lions just starting to separate themselves from the rest of the pack. Then we had the Arizona Cardinals at the Miami Dolphins. This actually turned out to be the game of the day. It was back and forth. Tua Tagovailoa, he made his return for missing the last month of football due to a concussion. And he actually had a pretty solid game. And it was a back-and-forth affair between both the Dolphins and Cardinals in this one. The Cardinals did get the walk-off win with the walk-off field goal, 28-27. Kyler Murray had a huge game, 26 for 36, 307 yards passing, and two touchdowns. And then their tight end, McBride, stepped it up, 124 yards as well. And just a big win for the Cardinals. Dolphins, just another team that's not looking too good at this point in the season. It, regardless of what the injuries are, they just don't look like a good team at all. Then a huge surprising game, in my opinion. Now, it was a division battle. So as I say, the division battles are always weird. Anything can happen. And this was the New York Jets at the New England Patriots. The Jets have just been awful this season, and they just can't seem to get it going. And just when it feels like they're going to get the win, they just blew it in the end like they did in this one. And the Patriots got the win 25-22. The Jets, they weren't able to capitalize in any way, shape, or form. They were able to make a few plays down the stretch, but when it really mattered, they weren't able to put together the plays. And they just looked like a very disjointed team. And while the Patriots, not a good team at all, they still got the win. And both teams are 2-6. That's how bad the Jets are right now, because the Patriots, nobody had any expectations for them. They're supposed to be a terrible team. The Jets, on the other hand, I feel like a lot of us expected them to be at least the opposite of what they are. 2-6, they should be about 6-2, 5-3, about that type of team, but they are not that type of team. Then we had the Atlanta Falcons at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and this was pretty much just all Falcons all day. They pretty much just dominated this one. Yes, it was a close matchup, but the Falcons had the lead the whole time. They ended up hanging on to the win 31-26. And Kirk Cousins went off. He had four touchdown passes yesterday. Baker Mayfield also had a great day, even with all the injuries they've had at the wide receiver position. Mike Evans did not play. Chris Godwin, not only did he not play yesterday, but there's a good possibility he's going to miss the rest of the season. So he's missing both of his dudes. Still went 37 for 50, 330 yards, and three touchdowns, so he still had a big day. But the Falcons were able to just put it together, and they were the ones to walk away with the win, 31-26. Then we had the Green Bay Packers at the Jacksonville Jaguars. This one actually ended up being a lot closer. I feel like that's mostly because Jordan Love ended up getting injured in this game with a groin injury, so Malik had to come in, and he held it down. He was able to hold it down. The Packers got the win 30-27. Like I said, it was a close one. It kind of feels like it shouldn't have been that close, but it was. It's the NFL, and that's what happens. Josh Jacobs, though, is really starting to fit in with this Green Bay Packers team. He had 127 yards on the ground and two touchdowns, and their tight end, Kraft, had 78 yards and a touchdown as well, and just another big win for the Green Bay Packers. And also Brandon McManus, he got the game-winning kick for the second week in a row for the Packers, which is something that they definitely need. So Packers are putting it together offensively, defensively, and on special teams. A very well-put-together team. Now, the problem is the injuries to Jordan Love, because at some point, Malik Collins is not going to be that dude. Yes, he's been able to just get it going enough to get them some wins, but at some point, these injuries to Jordan Love are probably going to be costly to the Packers, but right now it's actually looking like he could potentially be playing coming up this week. Then we had the Indianapolis Colts at the Houston Texans, and this was a close game. Very weird game, especially because Anthony Richardson, the quarterback for the Indianapolis Colts, he was having a pretty solid game. And on a drive, he had a run. And then when he goes to slide, he gets up and he taps on his helmet like, yo, I'm tapping out of the game. And we're all thinking, oh, the dude's injured. What happened? Joe Flacco comes in for like a play, and then Richardson comes back in. And then after the game, he tells all of us that the reason why he tapped out is because he was out of breath. That was one of the weirdest fucking things I've ever heard, not only from a quarterback, but just from an athlete in general. Because, I mean, I feel like we're used to all of these dudes playing with debilitating injuries that could haunt them for the rest of their lives. And I mean, there's so many guys who literally play with just terrible injuries where some guys, you know, Tom Brady's played with a torn MCL the year he won the Super Bowl with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Then you've got you've had Jack Youngblood. He played in a Super Bowl on a broken leg. Also a championship game on a broken leg. So there's guys who have literally just go right back out there and play. And to see Richardson tap out for no fucking reason other than being winded, that says a lot about him, and it's not a good look. Especially that he admitted it too, which is just weird, but it just wasn't a good look to begin with. And I guess that's why the Houston Texans ended up getting the win, 23-20. CJ Stroud had a solid game, 25 for 37, 285 yards and a touchdown. I will say this Houston Texans offensive line seems to be their weakness. Overall, the Texans, very solid team, especially on the defensive side of the ball. But offensively, there's been a lot of questions, and I think most of the questions lie on the offensive line. And they've been a problem because CJ Stroud's been on his ass for quite a bit, so hopefully he doesn't get injured at some point because of this. But I'd say that's about the only weakness I could really see with the Texans at this point in time. Then we had the New Orleans Saints at the Los Angeles Chargers. All Chargers, all day in this one. They dominated 26-8. Justin Herbert had a huge game, 20 for 32, 279 yards and two touchdowns. His receiver of choice today was McConkey with 111 yards and two touchdowns. And really just all Chargers. I mean, the Saints, of course, they're missing pretty much their entire team to injury. So that's just really costing them in every way, shape, and form. But just not looking good for the Saints with how they began the season. Then we had the Buffalo Bills at the Seattle Seahawks. This was all Bills all day. They got the win 31-10. The Seahawks are looking just as I expected them to. They're just not that good of a team. They're not the worst team in the league, but I just don't see a lot from them. But the Bills, on the other hand, looked very good. Josh Allen, 24 for 34, 283 yards, two touchdowns. Also threw his first interception. That's great for him, throwing his first interception in week 8, when he's usually the dude who leads the league in interceptions, or at least is usually a top 5 guy up there in interceptions. So he's really taken that, improved upon the turnovers. And then, of course, you have Cook. He had 111 yards on the ground with two touchdowns, and Shakir had 107 yards receiving through the air. So good game from the Bills, terrible game for the Seahawks. They just really could not get it going in any way, shape, or form yesterday. Then we had the Carolina Panthers at the Denver Broncos. This was all Denver Broncos all day. Broncos got the win 28-14. Bo Nix, 28 for 37, 284 yards and three touchdowns on the day. And just an overall terrible game from the Carolina Panthers. Then we had the Kansas City Chiefs at the Las Vegas Raiders. Chiefs got the win 27-20. They pretty much held on the whole way. Just another weird game from the Kansas City Chiefs. Even though they're 7-0 on the season, they're getting these very weird wins where they barely hang on. Patrick Mahomes had more interceptions yesterday. They had more turnovers, but they still got the win, and that's really all that matters. I mean, that is all that matters in the end, but they just are not an impressive team for being 7-0, but they still are there. Even minus the interceptions, Mahomes still had a pretty solid day, 27 for 38, 262 yards and two touchdowns. Travis Kelce finally had his best game of the season, 90 yards and a touchdown on the day. And it really was just mostly the Raiders just getting in their own way. I mean, they're not a very good team to begin with. But, I mean, when you go up against the Chiefs, you have to bring your A game. And they did not bring their A game. And that's just how it ended up going. Then we had the Chicago Bears at the Washington Commanders. This was pretty much a snooze fest all the way till the fourth quarter. It was pretty much field goals, field goals, field goals, all by the Commanders. Then finally in the third quarter, the Bears were finally able to get a score. They actually were able to get in position to take the lead, but they ended up running this really odd play where they did a handoff to an offensive lineman who ended up fumbling the ball at the goal line and costing them some points. But their defense actually held it down. They were actually able to get right back down the field, score the points, and go up on the Commanders. So it's looking like the Bears are just going to easily win this game. And the Commanders literally only have two opportunities to just bomb it down the field. So the Commanders, they're able to get a real nice play that gets them to about the, I think it was like the 48-ish yard line, which sets you up for a pretty decent bomb down the field. And so Daniels, he was just able to get a good bomb down the field. Now, I will say, when you watch the replay, you will see that the Chicago Bears defender, the cornerback, I can't recall his name right now, but he did something very stupid. He was actually, he just nonchalantly walking down the field, mocking the crowd like, yo, bitch, we gonna win this. We walking away with the win. Ball is snapped. His back is still to the back of the quarterback. He's not even trying to play. Then 4 seconds go by and he finally realizes, oh, shit, I better get back and pretend I'm going to cover this receiver. Well, usually what happens here is a bomb goes up, ball comes down, and there's a scrum, and maybe somebody will catch it, but more than likely, the ball just gets batted down. Well, in this case, the stupid idiot who is not looking at the ball, he decides to bat the ball up in the air, and nobody is behind the receiver, and the receiver for the Commanders is able to get the game-winning touchdown, and the Commanders walk away with the win 18-15. Daniels went 21 for 38, 326 yards, and one touchdown. That one touchdown was that last touchdown, but that's all that mattered, and a huge win for the Washington Commanders. Then Sunday Night Football was actually pretty much a snooze fest for the most part. It was the Dallas Cowboys at the San Francisco 49ers. The Niners did get the win, 30-24. Neither team was impressive in any way, shape, or form. It was actually kind of hilarious because the Cowboys went into halftime with the lead 10-6. Defensively, they were actually kind of holding it down, actually looking pretty decent for once, you know, making it a good game. The Niners were actually shooting themselves in the foot with all these stupid penalties, and they were getting touchdowns called back, and they just looked like a terrible team as well. Then they were able to put it together in the third quarter and just run up the score by 21 points, and they had the lead, and it looked like they were just going to absolutely trounce the Cowboys. But then in the fourth quarter, the Cowboys were able to make a little bit of a rally. But to be honest, I knew nothing was going to happen. I could just tell from this Cowboys team, we are just awful. The offensive line is atrocious. Dak Prescott has literally zero time to even get a pass off. CeeDee Lamb is his only option for the most part. And CeeDee Lamb, great night, 146 yards, 2 touchdowns. But I mean, he's it. Our ground attack is terrible. Our defense is terrible. I mean, really, the Cowboys' defense is ranked 30th, 31st, or last place in all defensive categories. That's how terrible they are. This team is just horrifying. It's just awful to watch. So I was not shocked that they lost the game. I was shocked that they made it close, but when it got close enough within 6 points, I was like, man, this just ain't going to happen. The Cowboys, they just aren't that type of team. I said a couple weeks ago that it's going to be a long season as a Cowboys fan, and last night was the perfect example of what I mean, because we've got a lot of difficult teams coming up, and we're probably just going to get our asses beat in each and every game, so it's just going to be like, oh, God, is it the draft yet? Because that's about all I feel with the Dallas Cowboys at this point in the season, so that was a terrible game from both teams. Nobody's actually talking about how terrible the Niners were, but the Niners did not look good either. That's just how it is. But the Cowboys looked even worse. And so, terrible game from the Cowboys, but the Niners got the win. So moving on to the Monday Night Football matchup for tonight, we have the New York Giants at the Pittsburgh Steelers. Right now, the Steelers are 5.5-point favorite. The Giants, one of the worst teams in the league. The Steelers, very mid to me offensively. They are pretty awful. Defensively, they're fantastic. They do seem to be putting it together offensively. So they do still have their moments offensively, but overall, this is just not a very good team on the offensive side of the ball. But they're definitely better than what the Giants have. The Giants are just awful in every way, shape, and form. So I expect the Steelers to get this win. I've got the Steelers winning this one 24-10. And in my head-to-head matchup with the homie Simon Ruvalcaba, he has the Steelers also winning this one 30-20. Now let's move on to the World Series and what's been going on there. In Game 1, the Dodgers won a thriller 6-3. This one was back and forth a little bit, but then the Yankees had the lead, and it looked like they were going to win. There was it's the ninth inning, two outs. Freddie Freeman walks out with the bases loaded, hits a walk-off grand slam, and the Dodgers walk away with the win 6-3. Game 2 dominated by the Dodgers. The Yankees were really lucky to get the two runs that they did get. Dodgers got the win 4-2. It was home runs from Edmund, Teoscar Hernandez, and Freddie Freeman in this one, and it was just all offense all day by the Dodgers. And the Yankees, they just keep leaving guys on base, and that's kind of been their MO for the most part this season. Game 3 is tonight. The Dodgers have the lead, of course, right now, up 2-0 on the Yankees. Since I did not make my predictions on the World Series, I'm going with the Yankees in 7 games in this one. The reason why is just because I think the Yankees actually do have the more depth at the starting pitcher position than the Dodgers do. But the Dodgers have the better bullpen, and that's actually what's shown in this one. Offensively, both teams are actually fairly equal. They both can go off at any point in time, and both teams actually have the issue of leaving guys on base. The Dodgers did lose Shohei Ohtani to an injury in the last game. Looked like a shoulder injury. He left, I believe, in the 7th or 8th inning. So he left that game, but it doesn't look like it's anything debilitating. He's apparently going to play tonight in Game 3, so that's definitely a good thing for the Dodgers, since they've just had so many issues with the injuries. But to me, I feel like the Yankees are just the better team and the deeper team at the starting pitcher position, but the Dodgers are absolutely doing what they should. They're dominating offensively, but their bullpen is actually much better than the Yankees, and it's showing right now. But I do expect the Yankees to actually put it together tonight and get the win and make this a much more interesting series. So now that we are at the World Series, let's go ahead and let's recap back to my MLB season predictions and see how I thought the season was going to end up and see how wrong I was. So in the American League, I thought the number one overall seed was going to be the Baltimore Orioles. Not off by there. Number two, I thought was going to be the Houston Astros. Not really off with that. Number three, I thought was going to be the Minnesota Twins. Way off with that. Number four, Toronto Blue Jays. Also off with that. Number five, the Texas Rangers. Also off with that. And number six, the New York Yankees. So I didn't really have a lot of expectations for the Yankees. For me, that was their starting pitching. And since the starting pitching actually stepped it up this year, they were actually one of the top teams in the league. But overall there, I did about half and half in the American League. I was right on Baltimore, Houston, and the Yankees, just wrong on the Twins, the Toronto Blue Jays, and the Texas Rangers. And in the National League, I had the number one overall seed being the Atlanta Braves, who were just completely demolished by the injuries. Number two overall seed I had is the Dodgers, which I was obviously right there. Number three, the St. Louis Cardinals, completely wrong there. Number four, the Philadelphia Phillies, completely wrong with how bad I thought they were going to be. Obviously, one of the best teams in the league. Number five, the New York Mets, actually believed in them a bit. And number six, the Arizona Diamondbacks. So I was about a little over half on this one. I was right on four of the six teams. I was right on Atlanta, the Dodgers, Phillies, and the Mets making the playoffs, and wrong about the Cardinals and the Diamondbacks. My ALCS matchups I had as the Baltimore Orioles versus the Toronto Blue Jays, completely wrong there. Toronto was a terrible team, and the Orioles just completely fell apart the month of August, and it just rolled on in through the playoffs. And then in the NLCS, I had the Atlanta Braves versus the St. Louis Cardinals. I think I was really just picking the Cardinals so I could just pick a random team out of left field. The Braves, you look at their roster, they actually have an excellent roster. It's just all the injuries they had to battle through. So it's obvious they could have been here, but those injuries just killed them this year, and so the Braves season just went down the toilet. My World Series matchup I had is the Baltimore Orioles versus the Atlanta Braves. Neither team is there. And my champ I had picked as the Atlanta Braves. So that's how wrong I was on the season because I did not have either the Dodgers or the Yankees as my World Series pick. So that's how my MLB season predictions turned out here in the month of October. And we're not going to be doing the NBA power rankings this week. I will begin those next week just because every team's only got about 2, 3, maybe 4 games under their belt at this season. So why really get into it? Nobody's really starting to separate themselves. But I will say we have 4 teams right now who are 3-0, undefeated to start the season. Boston Celtics, of course, the defending champs, so that's no shock there. And the Cleveland Cavaliers over in the Eastern Conference. Those are the 2 teams right now holding it down at 3-0. In the Western Conference, my Los Angeles Lakers looking fucking good, at least to start the season. I mean, it's only the first week of basketball. Lots of time to go. But they're looking fucking good right now to start the season 3-0. And the Oklahoma City Thunder, the other Western Conference team, to start the season off 3-0. So we will be getting the NBA power rankings next week once we get a couple of weeks of basketball going there, just because I feel like the first week it's very, very shaky and it's difficult to start making rankings then. But I feel like next week a little bit more will be shaved out, and so we'll see what happens there. But right now, 4 teams remain undefeated at 3-0 in basketball. All right, y'all, enjoy the rest of the week of sports, and I will talk to you fools on Wednesday.